everyone. Welcome to Advanced Studio Classroom. And it is the 19th of July. We are on our Newsworthy Clips article. And today we're going to talk about should you or should you not what, Zach?
Well, we're looking at should you have a pet? And here we're talking about the health benefits of having a pet, and specifically dogs.
And also in the audience with me today, I have
Pauline here. I've never owned a dog, although my husband is a dog lover, so we've had lots of talks about this.
And my name is Linda, and we are going to be talking specifically about getting a pet if you live alone or might have heart disease. So we are on page 30 of your magazine, and we are on, well, again, it's the 19th of July. We're so happy you could join us in this middle of this hot summer. And if you want to turn to your magazine and turn to that page or find it on your digital device, you can follow along with us. So one of us has had a pet. One of us has never had a pet. I grew up with pets. And when you live on a farm, you know, you also have animals on a farm. I didn't walk them, but they were there to play with. And we had a pet in the middle of the city, too.
Well, my family did have some pets when we were younger, but we just never had a dog.
Yeah, okay. Like cats, things like that.
Rabbits, actually.
Oh, rabbits, okay.
And a bird.
But it seems like with dogs in particular, there are these like healthy responsibilities that kind of go along with it and taking care of the pet that are going to actually benefit the pet owner.
Right. So that's in particular what we're talking about. So why don't you follow along as we do our first reading here on page 30.
Study finds dogs may be great for your heart and lower risk of death. Dog ownership correlates with lower rates of mortality and some fatal diseases, particularly cardiovascular disease, CVD, a study concluded. The study in the journal Scientific Reports found that canine ownership was associated with lower risk of CVD in single-person households and lower mortality in the general population. The risk of death was found to be about 33% lower for single dog owners than non-owners, and the risk of heart attack was 11% lower, according to the study. Based in Sweden, almost 3.5 million people, ages 40 to 80, were observed from 2001 to 2012 for the study. The authors called their findings the biggest investigation of the link from dog ownership to human health by far.
So as Zach said before, we're talking specifically, in general about pet ownership, but specifically about dog ownership. And it could be great for your heart, and also it may lower your risk of death. Now, the first sentence here says dog ownership correlates with lower rates of mortality and some fatal diseases. We have a couple of interesting words here, and we need to be careful about the use of the first one, right, Colleen?
Yeah, so correlate is a word that you're going to hear frequently when you're looking at experiments, when you're talking about scientific research and new information that has come out of them. Usually scientists will be very careful to say, we found data that correlates this with this. So they're saying it seems like, for in this example, dog owners seem to have lower rates of mortality and some other fatal diseases, particularly cardiovascular disease. So they're saying this group also has this. But we don't know if it's a causational relationship or if it just happens to be the case. So causational would mean, like, because they have a dog, that is why they have a lower rate of mortality and why they have less cardiovascular disease. There's a good chance that could be there, but there's some kind of cause relationship there, but we don't know for sure. We just know that they're somehow connected. It might just be that dog owners go on more walks, and so it's not because they owned a dog, it's because they go on more walks. Well, we'll talk about it more, but just to know, correlation versus causation is a frequent topic of conversation when you're talking about scientific research.
So next, there's also this word mortality. Mortality, the number of deaths in a given society.
Right, and during a particular period of time. So maybe people will, we also talk about the mortality rate. So maybe people die at a later age than instead of an earlier age if they are a dog owner. And some fatal diseases. Fatal means that you're a disease that causes death. And particularly, they are talking about cardiovascular disease, CVD. And that just means heart disease.
Right. Okay? Anytime you hear the words cardiovascular, right, we know we're talking about your heart.
And you might hear cardio exercises. So those are exercises that are meant to strengthen your heart. Often walking is in there. So you're walking your dog. So they say that the study showed or concluded that dog ownership really helps with these two areas of health. And then we see that the study was done or published in Scientific Reports, and they found that canine ownership was associated with lower risk of CVD in single-person households and lower mortality in the general population. That is kind of a mouthful, isn't it?
Yeah, there's a lot to unpack there. So first of all, you know, we always try and include a reference to where we're getting this information. It can be the kind of thing that you just breeze right by, but it is important, especially when we're talking about scientific research, to make sure that it's actually being done by someone that is a valid source, right? So Scientific Reports, this is a scientific journal. We know it's from a valid source. And they have found that there's lower risk of cardiovascular disease, CVD, in single-person households. So a single-person household would be, you know, someone who's not married, doesn't have kids in the house, is just living on their own. And if they have a pet, they're less likely of getting a cardiovascular disease, or a dog, I should say. It's interesting.
Well, and also I just point out, if anyone's wondering about this word canine,
right,
canine just refers to dogs.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a good word to know. So, yeah, with canine ownership, we're talking about dog ownership. And, you know, this point, it really makes sense if you're thinking about a person who might live alone, just to have a companion, right? Often connected with dogs is that phrase, the sentiment, man's best friend.
Right.
It's, you know, it's going to boost morale.
Right. I feel like there's both an emotional and a physical benefit, right? Because, yeah, there's that social connection that is really important for human beings. But then we were talking about cardio workouts, right? So we talk about for your heart's health, you need to be walking and being active and doing things to keep your heart healthy. And as we've already mentioned, dogs, really of all the pets out there, dogs are the ones that are going to force you out the door to go on a walk. If you're a responsible dog owner anyways, most dogs need to be taken on walks. And that could really help someone who otherwise would just sit at home and watch TV or not be really motivated to go get a cardio workout.
So if you're taking your dog for a walk on your bicycle or on your scooter, it's not really helpful. Well, maybe the bike is okay because you are exercising, but definitely not on your scooter. It's not really helping your cardiovascular workout. So you might
want to
think about
it. It might help the dog's cardiovascular, but it doesn't count for
you. Actually, I think it might harm it because if a dog has to run alongside a scooter, unless it's a big dog, a running dog, it's very, very harmful for it.
That's
because
a good point.
It's overworking its heart as well.
Well, and here the numbers kind of speak for themselves. The risk of death was found to be 33% lower for a single dog owner than non-owners.
That is very significant.
Mm-hmm.
And also we see that the risk of heart attack was 11% lower according to the study, which is also fairly significant.
Wow.
So I think it's something we really need to think about.
Definitely.
It doesn't really matter your age.
Mm-hmm. I also was interested to hear more about the study itself. We
mm-hmm.
learn where the study took place. I guess my ethnocentric Americanism, I just assumed this was a study done in the United States, but it's not. It was based in Sweden, and there were almost 3.5 million people ages 40 to 80 observed, or 3.5 million people. That is a lot of people. So this is good to know. Again, it mm-hmm. adds to the validity of the study when you know what a huge sample size they had. And also, it wasn't just observed for a year or two. They observed these people for 11 years, from 2001 to 2012. So it was an extensive study.
Right. And I think it's also important to point out the ages, 40 to 80. So you're looking at that demographic who are more prone, I think, to, you know, some of when you start to notice these cardiovascular diseases coming up.
Right. So I think for all of us, it depends upon really how much you get out there anyway. You know, maybe when we're younger, we think that we're more athletic. People tend to get outside more. And then, you know, with work and as you get older, I'm not saying everybody, but a lot of people start to slow down, but it's very important to keep moving yourself. And they're saying that if you have a dog that has needs and you're meeting your dog's needs, then you're outside more. You have to walk your dog. And I also want to point out that this is in Sweden. So it's cold there and mm-hmm. they get snow, and yet it doesn't keep people inside. A lot of their study would be during a winter, you know, colder time of year. So it's not keeping people from walking their dog or going out with their dog. And it's significantly made a significant difference in their lives in dropping these mortality rates and also the risk of heart attack. A huge difference.
Right. Of course, we should say we're guessing that that's the reason, right? Because, again, we're going back to this idea of correlation versus causation. We know there's a correlation between owning dogs and having a lower mortality rate, having less of these diseases. From the study, we feel pretty confident that's true. But then you have to, the non-scientific part is the guessing the why, you know. And so we're guessing a big part of the why is the higher level of activity plus maybe some of the social emotional side. But just to go back to that concept, that's kind of where that line breaks down.
Well, and it says that this is the biggest investigation of the link from dog ownership to human health by far. Mm-hmm. Okay, so this phrase "by far" is an important one. It just means ever, really.
Right. And then in our next reading, we're going to learn that there have been studies. Mm-hmm. But again, we're talking about the correlation of it or the causation of it and the findings of it. The findings seem to show some kind of link. We don't know if it's caused by this type of situation, but it seems to be linked in some way. So why don't we continue our reading? We're going to read to the end of the article, and we are on the right-hand column, the top of the page, on page 30 in your magazine.
Older studies have suggested that the risk of heart disease is higher among people who live alone. Dogs could help with that. The study says one mechanism by which dog ownership could reduce CVD risk and mortality is by alleviating psychosocial stress factors, such as social isolation, depression, and loneliness, all reportedly lower in dog owners. Perhaps a dog may stand in as an important family member in the single households, said Mwenya Mubanga, lead junior author of the study. However, the exact mechanism by which dogs help people's health is not clear, with several explanations possible. We know that dog owners in general have a higher level of physical activity, which could be one explanation to the observed results, the study's senior author, Tove Fall, said. Other explanations include increased well-being and social contacts, or effects of the dog on the bacterial microbiome in the owner. Or, as Fall said, it could be more a matter of correlation, not causation. There might also be differences between owners and non-owners already before buying a dog, which could have influenced our results.
So once again, we're reviewing the study from the scientific reports that came out of Sweden about especially people that live alone having dogs and the benefits of health.
Right. So we learned that they came up with some pretty amazing results from their research. They came up with the biggest investigation of a link from dog ownership to human health by far so far. But there are older studies that were also done in this area, and we can learn some from them as well.
Right. I thought it was interesting that this older studies actually proved that suggested that the risk of heart disease is higher among people who live alone. That's quite interesting. I think there might be a lot of reasons for that. You know, maybe some of it is we don't take care of ourselves like we should. We don't get out, maybe. We feel more isolated. I mean, I think they address all of those issues in this article. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of reasons, probably.
Right. And whatever those reasons are, then the next thought is maybe dogs help mm-hmm. with that. The study says one mechanism by which dog ownership could reduce risk. So one way that dogs might be reducing the likelihood of your getting a cardiovascular disease and mortality is by alleviating psychosocial stress factors.
Well, so this is a good word. To alleviate just means to make something bad, such as pain, or, you know, just it brings it down. It decreases. Here it's decreasing the psychosocial stress factors. So this word psychosocial, kind of just referring to things that are going on socially or psychologically.
Right. And so it's like your thought or your behavior.
Right.
We don't see this word put together too often, psychosocial, but it's definitely a term in the field of psychology having to do with your well-being, your inner well-being, how you yourself perceive life, and also, also in particular social situations and how we behave in social situations.
Well, right. That certainly makes sense when we're talking about people that are living alone. Mm-hmm. There will be these stresses that are present, whether it's isolation, depression.
Well, social isolation, yes.
Sure, yes. That's right.
Depression and of course, with that goes what?
Loneliness.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think it's going to be interesting to see, because we are seeing in society with social media that people are putting themselves or choosing to be in social isolation and, you know, contacting the outside world, so to speak, only through social media. And we're finding that age dropping dramatically into teen years, in particular. So, you know, it makes me wonder what's going to happen with these stress factors with people.
It's true.
Good point. Well, it's also interesting. So they say, you know, these social, psychosocial stress factors may be high in people who live alone, but those exact same things, the social isolation, depression, and loneliness, are reportedly lower in dog owners. So there seems to be this direct idea that, like, if you live alone, you may be at a high risk of having some of these struggles. But if you have a dog, that might dramatically reduce that. And those things might be what lead to some diseases and early mortality.
Right. Well, and that's a great point, Pauline, because in our next paragraph, it goes on to say, it's not just that these dogs could be kind of just a good companion, but actually stands in place of a family member.
Mm-hmm.
So you start to get the emphasis or the importance of having a dog as a dog owner.
I think it's kind of interesting. I mean, I can just use my father-in-law as an example. My mother-in-law died a couple of years ago. He has a dog. He has his own apartment. He lives alone in senior housing. Everybody in his building knows his dog, you know, and when he walks his dog, they all stop and chat with him. They stop and, you know, play with the dog or talk about the dog. And that's kind of like his social interaction.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so you can see that just that alone brings in some interaction into your life. And it also helps with, you know, the feeling of loneliness maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Because you also have a companion when you're home as well.
And at a very significant level, right?
Yes, at a very significant level.
Now, again, I had said that a lot of times the scientific studies, they're very careful to say, you know, well, we think maybe this is the reason. Our data shows a correlation, but we are just hypothesizing reasons. So they do the same thing again here. It says, oh, okay, the exact mechanism, exactly how and in what way dogs help people's health is not 100% clear. Their data can't say exactly why, but these are several possible explanations that do seem very plausible. We all agree this seems rational, right?
Yes.
Well, and I suppose that's why they do these reports in the first place, right?
Well, they're looking for causation here. They haven't come up with causation, but correlation they have, probably. So they say that in the next paragraph that dog owners in general have a higher level of physical activity. So, I mean, that makes sense, right? You have to walk your dog.
That's certainly going to address the cardiovascular, I think, diseases.
Another thing we haven't talked about, but I think even about somebody who likes to go hiking, and if you're a single person, even, we've been thinking a lot about older people, but even think someone who's younger who might be inclined to be active, but like, I know I'm a really social person, so normally I wouldn't go hiking or go to the park by myself. But if you're like, well, me and my dog could go hiking, me and my dog can go to the park, then you might just get out there a lot more often, not just with your daily walks, but even more bigger activities that if you didn't have a person to ask, now you have somebody to do it with, so you'll go do more things.
It's a great point. Well, and even for the person that's less motivated on a personal level, just to get out and go explore, that added responsibility could be the motivation they need to go and exercise and just to get moving.
And also it goes further than that. It also goes to the social factor too, because, you know, it's when you walk a dog, people stop and chat with you because for some reason it just seems to make you more approachable, or because you have a topic, an automatic topic of conversation right there, especially if it's a cute dog.
Totally reminds me of like little kids or babies, right? It's the same thing, right? Mm-hmm. It's just something about like, there's like this moment where you can like connect on how like how cute that is. And you know, the parent or the pet owner is probably quite proud of them. And so it's an easy way out. Like I said, I'm a very social person. So I really like to interact with strangers. So as soon as I see somebody with a pet, I know that I can probably be like, hey, can I take a picture of your really cute pet and talk to you? And everybody's so excited to. So
right.
It definitely is a nice bridge for interaction.
So are you suggesting this correlation between socializing and having how cute your dog is?
Maybe.
I think in a pet owner's eyes, their pet is cute.
Absolutely.
You know, so it doesn't
Certainly.
Matter how you observe that dog or that pet. And we go on to see that besides a higher level of physical activity, then it could include well-being, increased well-being and social contacts, which you've just been talking about, are effects of the dog on the bacterial microbiome of the owner. So first explanation, increased well-being.
You know, I was thinking about that, too, in sense of just a feeling of safety. So I know even just when I'm home alone because my husband's gone for a week for something, I am just somebody who gets really like nervous when I'm at home at night alone, those kind of things. I can get stressed out or scared really easy. And I could see where having a big dog or even a little one, just something that will bark, would make me feel so much more secure, right?
Yeah.
And there is something to be said about the negative effects of fear and stress, and then the positive of if you have something in your life that makes you feel more safe.
Right.
So even just that might be a factor.
I know our dog, because we lived in the middle of the city and in an apartment, we had a small dog. And if anybody came to our door, all you would hear is this barking. But if you open it, the dog is like on his back, like, here, play with me. I'll show you where all the money is, anything you want, just rub my stomach.
But still, see, there's so much to that, because it's like I would know, like, if my dog isn't barking, then I know it was just like some little noise. Random noise somewhere.
Yes.
Or I would tell myself, like, that person's not going to know it's not a big dog until they open the door. You know what I mean? There's just so many little things that
most of
it's all in your head, right? And I think it would really help with the mental game.
I know it did, because, you know, I knew when anybody was even walking by our door.
Mm-hmm.
You know that because the dog is at the door. And then we also see, I thought this was really interesting, the effects of the dog on the bacterial microbiome of the owner.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to pick this apart for us, Zach?
Well, here they use this fancy word. Well, first of all, bacterial, referring to bacteria, something dirty within the body. And they've kind of highlighted microbiome, which is just a particular microorganism happening, you know, in an environment, and the environment they're talking about in the dog owner. So all in all, I think the idea is that the effects of the dog are keeping the person healthier.
Right. I do want to, you know, a couple of days ago we talked about how to keep, you know, about mosquitoes and problems with mosquitoes. And this is not it is connected to this article. I did realize that if you have mosquitoes in your house and you have a pet, you should wipe your dog off or, like, ruffle your dog's fur before you go into the house, because I would see mosquitoes fly off him. When as soon as he walked in the door, I'm like, oh, yeah.
So that's a negative effect, but that's still a good example of, like, all these little ways that having a pet is going to affect you that you don't even think about, right? So while that one, of course, seems like a little more of a negative, but it's a nice example of such a tiny little thing you don't even think about the way it's affecting your home environment and your body and all these different things, right?
What's also a way of taking care of your dog as well and yourself. So, you know, we need to look out for one another, especially if you're living alone. You know, we have there's a lot that goes into taking care of a dog and a pet, and it keeps you active and interested in what's going on. Now, this last paragraph we see, it could be more of a matter of correlation, not causation, which Pauline has talked about. And causation just means what, Pauline?
The reason one thing happens is because of something else.
Right.
That's causation.
So there might be differences between owners and non-owners that already exist before a person buys a dog, and that could have influenced their results. But, you know, it just seems to have some, you know,
some connection there.
We're inclined to believe that there probably is a causation, but that's a nice example of the difference where, like, it could be like, well, already the kinds of people who buy pets, who own dogs, are the kind of people who do things that are more socially connected, are the kind of people who are more active. So it's hard to say. That's a good example of the difference, but I agree. I tend to believe that there's probably a causation here.
Yeah, I just remember my grandmother's dog got her out of the house walking around the block several times a day, you know. Mm-hmm. So it was just a real living example to me. Mm-hmm. So think about it, even if you don't live alone. Okay, well, we hope that you will join us again tomorrow. We are doing our newsworthy clips, and we have a very interesting article for you tomorrow, so we hope to see you then. Bye for now.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.